I want to begin this morning with a little story. It was a little girl. She came to her mama. She says, "Mama, where did we come from?" Her mama said, "Africa." And she said, No. I mean, where did all of us, everybody come from?" Her mother said, "Well, God created Adam and Eve, and then we all came from Adam and Eve down through the ages." She went, "Oh, so God created us." Yeah. So then she went and she said, "Daddy, where did we come from?" And he said, "Africa." And she said, No. I mean, everybody, all of us." He said, "Well, there were these monkeys in Africa, and they evolved, and they, you know, came to be humans, and then we became like ourselves." So the girl, little girl sat there and thought a minute, and she went to her mom and said, "Mom, I don't understand. You said God created us, and Daddy says we came from monkeys." She said, "Oh, honey, I was telling you where my side of the family came from." There's a saying in Australia, whenever they end a conversation, and pretty much it's liberally across the board, if you were to say, "Can you help me find something?" and they go help you, or if you say, "I'd like to give you this," and then you end the conversation, whatever the consequence, whatever, they say, "No worries, mate. No worries." Today I want to share a message called "Buried or Delivered, You Choose." Theologian Charlie Brown said this: "I've decided to only worry about one day at a time." And then there's Alfred E. Newman, whose slogan, if you remember Mad Magazine, for those that are a little bit older, the slogan was, "Me worry?" A real theologian, Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones, said this: "The problem with worry about the future is you cripple yourself today." I want to share a message with you this morning about being buried in worry or delivered. And some of you might hopefully listen and hear and be delivered. I've had people say, "I'm a worrier." No, you're not. You've become a worrier, but you weren't born a worrier. These two little babies over here, they're not worriers. They don't have to worry about anything. Mom and Dad take care of everything. All they have to do is whine, and it's there. We're not born worriers. We become worriers. We are confronted daily, though, with things to worry about. The war on terror, it could come to the safest place on earth that you go. We found that true in Texas a few weeks ago. We face a dysfunctional government, which has a president who uses coarse language and severe, irreverent measures in the determination to take a country in a new way. But on the other side of the aisle, we have a group of politicians who are willing to shut down the government to prove their point. So where do you go? I believe we have things to worry about. I really do. I believe that not only do you have things to worry about with regards to the world, but also in your own small world. You personally are facing many trials. Your children get sick and the doctor doesn't know what it is or how to treat it. So you go, "What am I to do?" You are up late nights with sick family members and your health is of struggle. You need a job or you're afraid you may lose your job. The household finances, your bills don't match. You're afraid that you have been hacked and your personal financial information is out there in cyberspace somewhere. Have any of you gotten one of those calls? I don't answer. I've gotten to where if you call me and I don't recognize I don't see your name pop up, I'll call you back. I learned that from Russell. Russell never answers his phone. He just calls people back. But I learned that from him. Now, I'm going to tell you why. Because I have so many exploitation people that are calling me. And the exploitation people are, for instance, they'll leave a word on the answer machine. It says, you are under indictment by the IRS. And if you don't call us back, the funds that we demand will be put towards court costs and you will be in deep trouble. Have you had any of those? I've had at least two or three. I don't know where they get my number. But I had another one this past week. You're being sued. And because you're being sued, we have an option for you to get out of that suit if you'll just call us. Yeah, right. But they come at times sometimes when you go, oh, and they hit you at the wrong time. And so there is times that you worry. In a study, the number one fear and worry in America, though, would surprise you. Number one worry and fear in America. You know what it is? Your appearance. So if terrorists come, and they come in, that won't frighten you as much as, oh my gosh, do I look good? And if the terrorist says, hit the floor, no, I might mess up my appearance. Your worries can come down on you, though, like an avalanche in just a short time. I want to give you an illustration. This past week, I had all kinds of plans. Some of you had plans. I make my plans out long in advance because I'm working on a theater production and I've got this group that meets this day and that group that meets that day and the choreographers are supposed to be here and there, and we had it all planned out for this week, and then we had one day that we were there and we went home. So it sort of destroyed everything that I was planning and doing because it started snowing. And it snowed and it snowed. It started at 8 in the morning and it ended at 8 at night. It snowed 12 straight hours at my house without stopping. I haven't seen that in a long time, many, many years. And 11 inches under, I even put a little something on Facebook that said, buried in God's beauty. And we were buried. But I want you to understand that when you're buried, something amazing happens. Did you notice the difference in the snow and the way you looked at the snow? When you looked out your window, you don't see anything but snow when you're buried in snow. There's nothing else there. The bushes are not there anymore. The cars actually are not there anymore. You see some wheels at the bottom. The driveway's not there. There's no sidewalk. The trees even fade a bit with the snow. And there's no ditch in the front of my house. Just a road. And I saw many of people come down that road and not know where the road was and where the yard started. Because they went all through the yards. And one almost just came real close to hitting a fire hydrant that was covered up in one of the yards. I said, whew, they just barely missed that one. But whenever that snow came, it buried all things so that all I saw was the snow. I want to talk with you a bit about how worry is like being buried and you cannot seem to come out. You can't see anything but the snow, the worry, the thing that's worrying you. That's how bad problems can get. From the Old English, the word worry means to choke. Can you see how the analogy of being buried by a great snowstorm fits the analogy? For worry usually consumes us to the point that we see nothing but it. It affects everything. And I want to say this. Christians become ineffective with worry. Worry robs us of our joy and God's blessings. I want you to read with me Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 33. And as we do, listen to God. This is our Lord. This is our Savior and the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus stood on a hillside in front of a cosmopolitan group, large group of people at the Sea of Galilee, on a hill. And by the way, I've been there. I've stood on that hill where Jesus taught and overlooked the Sea of Galilee. Beautiful place. Thousands of people were there. And Jesus said this to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, and what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yes, I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like this one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, thrown into a fire, he will not much more clothe you, you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." The first thing, I've got several points here, and the first point is God is saying, don't worry. There used to be a song that was called, back when I was young, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." And I thought that was appropriate. We are not supposed to worry. We're supposed to be happy. Yes, we're supposed to be happy. Blessed means happy. And if we are following Christ Jesus, we are happy in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is on us. We should not be worrying. Jesus is saying, do not be so concerned about the things that you have little control over, to no control over. By the way, the things that we have no control over is what we worry about. Did you know that? The things we have control over, we don't worry about those. We go do those. We take care of it. So we don't worry about it. It's the things we have no control over, or we think we don't have any control over, that we worry about. Some Christians say that it's a virtue to worry. Because I care, I worry. Is worry really a virtue? Think about it. Worry is not a virtue. Rather, it can become sin if it consumes you. Why? Because it is a lack of trust in God and therefore a lack of faith. It says if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain later on. Jesus is trying to help us understand that God cares about us and he will take care of us. Why did he go to the lengths to talk about birds and flowers and grass in the field? If God takes care of them, will he not take care of you? God takes care of his people. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its destruction, but it empties today of its strength. Are any of you today in a lion's den? Or you might think you're in a lion's den. You remember the story. Daniel was told, Daniel was a part of the king's court. He was a Hebrew in the king's court, and guess what happened? They said, you can't bow down to any god but to the king. And the king signed the edict, not even thinking that it might affect some people in his court. Of course, some other people that hated Daniel really were the ones who came up with that edict. And they made a plan. Let's get rid of Daniel. Anybody who prays to any other god is going to be thrown in the lion's den. So there were people who came to plot against Daniel. But God is greater than the consequences, greater than the lions. And God was able to take the consequences of Daniel praying. He was found praying to God, and he was thrown into he was thrown into the lion's den. Do any of you remember what happened? The king worried all night. He couldn't sleep. Says he sat up all night crying and weeping, worried about it. Have any of you ever sat up all night and worried about something? Or you can't sleep because of the worry? If you say no, you're not being truthful. All of us have something that has kept us up worrying, concerned. But Daniel slept in the lion's den. The king was not in the lion's den. Daniel was. And yet Daniel slept. Daniel had no worries. He probably got one of those lions and laid him down and laid right on top of him, because I imagine a lion would be a nice little bed. When the king went in the morning, he looked down and called for Daniel, and Daniel said, "Yes, I'm right here. I'm awake." In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith." I want you to know that Satan does have plans to destroy you. But God is greater than all the plans of Satan. He will not let you go down. He will not let you be destroyed. He will take care of you. He has taken care of you this far. Why do you think he wouldn't take care of you in the future? That's what I have to keep reminding myself at times. Martin Luther said, "Pray and let God worry." And of course, we know God doesn't worry. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Number one was stop worrying. Number two is turn your worries to prayers. Whenever you start to worry about something, pray about it. Whenever there is, the Lord says, "Bring all your concerns unto me, all your cares unto me." I want you to understand that whenever you get on your knees and pray, you have turned things over to God, and when you turn things over to God, you feel a great comfort and peace because it's no longer yours. It's you've given it to him. Release it in prayer to the Father. The third one is, remember, worry has never solved anything. It only makes life miserable. Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, "Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Can worrying do anything about the future? Can worrying change the future? No, it just changes now. And if you change now with worrying about the future might happen because you're worrying now. God does not want us to worry as Christians, because when we worry, our focus is on the heavy snow that has inundated us, and we're not looking or seeking the things of God any longer. We're not being charged or led by God. The things of God are not there. Last point. Here is the key to the stress-free life, a worry-free life. It is the last part of the scripture, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Notice, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not my righteousness, but God's. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. What things will be added unto you? All the stuff that you're worried about. It's going to be taken care of. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and this stuff will be added to you. It will be taken care of. Some of you say, first of all, I want you to understand, all of us have different things to live for. You can live for your appearance. If that's the number one thing you're worried about, then some of you got a lot of trouble ahead of you. Because when you get older, that appearance goes. You're not as beautiful as you are now. Your hair doesn't look as good. Your breath is worse. You got wrinkles everywhere. You just don't look that good. And when you get there, if appearance is what you're living for, you're in trouble. Another one is to live for comfort. How many people live for comfort? You know, I want to be careful what I say because I don't try to get real political. I never do, but I want you to understand. Some people vote for comfort. Whoever's going to give me the most, I'm going to vote for whoever gives me the most. Some people not only vote for comfort, they live for comfort. They get the job that they've got for comfort. Not because their job is benefiting the kingdom of God or their job is getting them something that will make them feel good about themselves and what God is doing in their life. No, give me a job that's got a lot of money. I was able to watch two or three movies over the 3 days, although that's not mostly what I did. I read a lot of books, but one of them I watched was The Unsinkable Molly Brown, which is an old, old movie. Old. It's so old, it's older than I am, I think. And it was about a girl up in the mountains who grew up as an adopted child in a really rough home. I mean, destitution and poverty, tremendous. And she said one day, all I care about is getting married to a rich man. And her stepfather said, wait. That's not the most important. She said, yes, it is. To have money is the most important thing. And when I get money, I will be happy. There are people that are that way. They're living for comfort. They're living for things. You can live for recognition or for position. And for those who live for recognition and position, it comes and goes. I saw a young man in one of our fast foods in Durham. And he's a big, tall boy. But he's in his 30s. And he was working in that fast food place. And I walked in and saw, and he got to... He was a star on his basketball team in high school. He went to college on a great scholarship, but he had to drop out because of grades or something. I forgot exactly what they said happened. And now he's working in a fast food. Recognition comes and goes. It doesn't last. If you're living for recognition, you're living for something that will fleet and be gone. All of these things can bring worry, Because if you lose them, you begin to worry. But if I exchange these for God's will, then whatever I get is in God's will for my life and will be for my best interest. When you understand that God loves you and he has a better plan for your life than even you've even thought of, then you can trust your life with God. And when it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, some of you will automatically say, how do I seek first God's kingdom? You do it in your workplace. You do it at your home. You do it at the grocery store. You do it at the mall. You do it at the service station. You do it at the church. You do it in your family meals. You do it when you lay down at night to go to sleep. You do it when you wake up in the morning. You do it all the time. And you say, "How? Do what? I give you this morning, God. I give you this job, God. I give you this meal, God. And I seek first your kingdom and your righteousness in this restaurant where I am." Because apparently they need it. You ever been in one restaurant like that? Oh, we went into one, and we're there a half a night, waiting on, they got all confused about orders, and, but the key is, what will you do with the moment God has given you? If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things I will add to you. You say, but at my work I cannot honor God. Okay, then go find another job. And then you say, wait, but what I do, how many of you really, if you said, I can't honor God at my work, have you tried? Most of the time we say, I can't honor God at my work. Why? You haven't tried it, but you know, it doesn't look like anybody else is doing it, so apparently I can't. God is not asking us to do these things. He's saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness at work. Not just at home, not just in my bedroom where the door's shut and I'm hiding. So I'm going to make my bedroom the kingdom of God. No, he's calling us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness over all things. Proverbs 22:1-2 says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Do any of you walk buried in a fear or fears or worries? I don't know why God brought me to this. I thought I was supposed to preach a message getting us ready for the vision, revisioning we're going to have next Sunday. I thought that's what it was. Next Sunday is so important to the future of our church, and I hope that you will stay next Sunday for our revisioning after the worship. But hear me. To me, God says, do something, and I try to do it. And I knew in the middle of this week, God was telling me, you're going to preach on worry. Well, I'm honest to tell you, I wasn't worrying about anything. I didn't have anything to worry about. I was at home for 3 days vacation. This was good. But worry seems to be what God wants me to preach this morning. That you come out from being buried in your worries and you turn those things over to God and seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be taken care of. And therefore, if I felt led to do this, then there is someone here, one, maybe more, who's buried in worry.
And God's saying, no, 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 no. I don't want you to worry. If you were to tell me what, but you don't know my situation. You tell the God that. God, you don't know my situation. Yes, God knows your situation. And he says, don't worry. Seek first the kingdom. And all the things that you're worried about, I'll take care of. And then you can leave them and walk away. You know what God wants us to do? He wants us to go home, go to our families, and have fun. When was the last time you and your family just had a ball? You had fun together and you didn't worry about a thing. You didn't get on each other about anything. You just had a good time together. You see, God wants our fellowship to grow in this church as well. And when we worry about things, it harms the fellowship. When we worry about things, it tends to disrupt God's flow. Trust God. Trust God. Seek first his kingdom. And I promise you, you'll come out, the sun will come out, the snow will melt, and everything will become clear again. Let us pray. Father, someone here needs deliverance. Someone here has been walking in a painful existence or a painful struggle or a worry factory. They would never admit it to anyone but you, Lord, because you can see all of them. But this morning, I pray for their deliverance. Father, I pray that you would lift them up out of that buried existence into the light of the living Father, into the sunlight that takes away the chills of where they've been, and they walk in the warmth of the Holy Spirit. And right now, they're